Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey North Point, thanks for joining us today as we continue our brand new series entitled Heaven Revealed. In the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring what does it look like when heaven invades earth. I mean, after all, Jesus asked us to pray for this. What does it look like when God answers our prayer? Jesus told us in the Lord's Prayer, right there in Matthew chapter 6, He said, you should pray this way, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if God instructed us to ask for it, don't you think that we should be expecting to see it? If God said this is what we should ask for, don't you think that we should be anticipating actually experiencing heaven come to earth in our lives? Well, last week we said, what does it look like or what does it take for heaven to come to earth? And we said that it really begins with repentance. And Jesus showed up with that message and He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now near to you. Repent. That word repent, it simply means to change your mind. It means to reconsider. It means to think differently. And what we said is that we've got to change the way that we think. We got to change the way that we think about heaven. That heaven is not just a place to be experienced one day, but heaven is something that we should experience every day. Jesus came not so that one day we could step from this life into that life. He came to bring the abundant life, the life of heaven, to us right here on earth. We got to change the way we think about heaven. We got to change the way we think about ourselves. God wants heaven to invade us, His children, so that heaven might flow through us. And we got to change the way that we think about what's possible. This is why Jesus's message when He came was repent. Repent. This is where our journey with God begins, and this is how our journey continues to advance. And now listen, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what does it look like when heaven comes to earth, and we're going to talk about obedience, and we're going to talk about miracles, and we're going to talk about generosity and love. But none of these things are possible if we don't first do what Jesus instructed, if we don't first repent. If we don't first change the way that we think. You see, you don't just repent one time so that you can get into heaven. No, you continue to repent so that more of heaven can get into you. And that's the way that we want to live. Not just in this, okay, I'm going to repent one time for my sins and I'm going to be introduced to God because I want to go to heaven one day. No. I want to change the way I think about all of this, and I want to continue to repent, to continue to change my mind. I want to continue to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. As I begin to change the way that I think, my life is going to continue to be transformed, and therefore more of heaven is going to invade my life. That's the way that I want to live. And so that's what makes it all possible. We got to change the way that we think. And today we're going to continue on, and we're going to talk about what does it look like when heaven comes to earth. And today we're going to talk about faith, that heaven on earth looks like faith. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 that says this. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to walk with God without faith. It's impossible to be in relationship with God without faith. First, we must believe that He exists, and then we must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently and earnestly and sincerely seek Him. Now, I want you to think about this. You must believe that He exists. That He exists where? That He exists in heaven. and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Where are the people that are diligently seeking him on earth? Where is the reward coming from? The reward is coming from heaven to earth. So if God is going to reward you, that means heaven is coming to earth. So there is a reward for those who diligently seek after him. So if we're diligently seeking after him, we are living in faith, we are pleasing him, and if we are doing that, then guess what? We are going to see heaven come to earth. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what is faith? You know, faith is one of those words that we throw out there a lot. But if you really start trying to break down the definition, you'd be like, I don't know. It's a belief. Well, no, it's more than that. It's action. Well, it's more than that. What is faith? In the 1600s, the Puritans wrote that they believed that faith was made up of three things. That faith was made up of knowledge, assent, and affiance. It was made up of knowledge, assent, or agreement, and affiance, which is action, it's trust, it's confidence. Now, let's just break that down for a moment. Knowledge, it's very simple. You cannot believe what you do not know. There has to be some level of awareness. There has to be some level of knowledge so that then you can begin to believe what you have heard or believe what you have learned. There's got to be knowledge. The second thing there is assent. This is where my life and my mind get in agreement with what I believe. This is where Jesus isn't just a savior, but Jesus becomes my savior. I get in agreement, or I get in alignment with that truth. And the third is affiance. With the knowledge that I have and the agreements that I've made, I begin to walk out daily with active trust and confidence. So there's knowledge, there's assent, and there's affiance. And if you've been in our community for any length of time here, you have probably heard me or Destiny say the journey of faith, because that's what we really believe faith is here at North Point. Faith is a journey. Faith is not a moment. Faith is not just a prayer. Faith really is a journey. And even the way that we choose to define discipleship here at North Point, we say the discipleship is our process to progress. What progress are we going for? We want to be more like Jesus. We want our lives to look more like Jesus. We want our words to resemble Jesus. We want to live our life like Jesus. That's our progress. But there is a process that we must enter if we want to see that progress. Now, whenever most people say the word faith or think of faith in terms of Christianity, they are either thinking about it entirely or predominantly in this way: I believe in Jesus. I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. In Christianity, people say, well, I'm a person of faith. And that's what they really mean. I believe in God, and I believe that Jesus is God's son. Now, that's just not the complete picture. That's where our faith starts, but that's not our faith in its entirety. Let's just walk through these three things. Let me just give you a quick example. So whenever it comes to knowledge, right? It comes to knowledge. And there's this knowledge moment that God wants to save me, that God made a way for that to happen by sending his one and only son to save me so that I might spend eternity with him. That is brand new knowledge. And that moves me into assent. This is when I get into agreement that God has the ability to forgive my sin and he has the ability to save my soul. I agree with that. And then it moves into affiance. I begin to daily place my trust and place my confidence in the saving grace, in the saving power of God the Father. This is where it begins, but this is not where it ends. Because watch this, as we continue to grow in knowledge, what does that look like? You grow in knowledge of the depth of his love. Now, you might have read John 3:16 or heard a preacher quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and so you knew that that's why Jesus came, but you didn't know in that first moment when you chose to believe and you prayed a prayer to invite God into your life, you did not in that moment know the depth of his love. You may have heard that he loved you. You may have even got into agreement that you were loved, but you didn't know the depth. You see, as you continue this journey, as you continue to read your Bible, as you hear more teaching about God, you understand the depth of God's love, which then leads you to the assent or the agreement, and you start getting into alignment with this identity that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, which leads you to an affiance or to an action that you start taking action, a bold action, action with authority. Why? Because you have this identity and you begin to live out that identity every single day. Or how about as you continue on this journey and you come into the knowledge of the certainty of his promises, that God made you promises in his word, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that he will never leave you or forsake you, that he would be with you even to the end of the age. These are the promises that we have. And so we begin to gain knowledge of the certainty of these promises, which does what when it comes to my assent or agreement? I begin to live with an expectation that I'm going to see that promise come to pass in my life, which leads me to a affiance or to an action. And now I am trusting that promise. I am putting my full belief and life and future in the hands of that promise being true. You see, whenever you understand, these are the components of faith. So you begin to break faith down and say, okay, faith is knowledge. Faith is agreement. And then faith is action. Faith is all of these things. Now, years ago, and I've shared this with you before, but years ago, I created a little working definition for the word faith. And it's something that I've carried with me probably almost the last 20 years that I have been teaching and preaching. It's something that's helped me out. I want to give it to you again. But this is my working definition for the word faith, and that faith is a deep belief that leads to an action, results in obedience, and must be constantly cultivated in your life. Faith, it's a deep belief, but it's more than that. It's got to lead to an action. And that first action is just surrender. The first action is just receiving God's grace. That's the first action, but it's got to lead to more action. And that action is going to do what? It's going to result in a lifestyle of obedience. And then that faith journey, it's got to be constantly cultivated. It's got to be constantly cultivated. You see, progressively, more heaven should be moving through you because more faith is growing in you. More heaven should be moving through you because more faith is growing in you. But this doesn't happen if faith is just a check the box. I am a person of faith. I am a believer. I believe that Jesus came, died, and was resurrected. I believe in Jesus, and I check the box. This is not a one-time thing. No, faith must be constantly cultivated in my life. Faith is not a one-time decision, but it's a lifetime direction. When you think about that, it's not a one-time decision. It's more than that. It's a lifetime direction. This is why we call it the journey of faith, because it's not just faith for grace. It's faith for my race. It's not just faith to receive God's grace. No, it's faith for my race, this race that I am running, this life that I am living. And today, I want to give you five signs that my faith is growing. Five signs. These are little checkpoints for you. And you can say, okay, is my faith really growing? Five signs that your faith is growing. Number one is this: hungry for knowledge. Are you hungry for knowledge? You see, I'm not just satisfied with what I currently know. Here's the reason why: because I know there is more. I'm never satisfied with what I know, because if I get satisfied with what I know, then I'm not learning the new thing that's going to do what? That's going to bring that change and transformation in my life. And I love the way that Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek for them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. I mean, just think about what Solomon says here when he says, this is what it looks like to be hungry. He says, it looks like asking. It looks like crying out for. It looks like searching. It looks like seeking. It looks like tuning your ears. It looks like concentrating. All of these things are very, very active. You see, there is this desire. There is this quest for knowledge. And you would say, well, why? Why is there this quest for knowledge? Why are we trying to grow in our understanding? Because Proverbs 24, verse 5 says this, those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. Those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. So if I want to be growing stronger in my faith and in my life, then it's going to take knowledge. So I've got to be searching for it. I've got to be seeking after it. I've got to be hungry for knowledge. You see, if I am satisfied with what I know, I'm not hungering for what I can become. And faith is always about future. Faith is always about what you can be and what God can do. And so you have to ask yourself, am I hungry for knowledge right now? Am I hungry for knowledge? Now, here's the second sign that your faith is growing. And that is applying the knowledge. Applying the knowledge. Are you applying the knowledge? You see, I'm not learning for the sake of becoming smarter. I'm learning for the sake of becoming better. Say that to you again. I'm not seeking after this knowledge. I'm not searching for this knowledge. I'm not hungry for this knowledge just so I can become smarter. No, I am seeking this knowledge so that I might become better, so that I might become a better disciple, so that I might be a better servant, so that I might be a better parent, that I might be a better spouse, that I might be a better person. It's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. What is James saying to us? He's saying it's not as much about information as it is transformation. It's not as much about information as it is transformation. You see, there's a danger with information. Information can create a false sense of security or superiority. And we see this so often. People that know the most, they feel superior. And so information can be a trap. Information can be dangerous. But transformation comes with the activation of the information. And that's what we are seeking in our lives. We want transformation. We want to be transformed. We want to grow. And that comes whenever the information experiences an activation and we begin to apply what it is that we are learning. You see, the test of faith isn't how much I know about God. The test of faith is what am I doing with what I know about God? It's not just how much that I know about God. No, the test of faith is in my action. What am I doing with what I know? Faith always cuts its teeth in action. Faith demands action. That's why here at North Point this year, we said 2021, it's our year of application. It's our year of applying. We don't want to just be hearing the word. We want to be doing the word. We want to be applying it to our lives. We want the action of putting some things into operation, understanding that that's going to take sustained effort and it's going to take hard work, but that's what we want to see in our lives. And one of the ways that we've done that this year to just bring that focus into application is we close all of our sermons out with that lead acrostic because we want to lead ourselves well. How do you lead yourselves well? You can't lead yourself well without that application. So we say, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then are we constantly doing that over and over again? Because we've got to not just gain the knowledge, but we also have to apply the knowledge. Here's the third sign that you are growing in your faith. And that is this, practicing thankfulness. Practicing thankfulness. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Now, I want you to see this. After you've accepted him as Lord, you must continue to follow him. And maybe if you've been in our community, you've kind of caught on to this, but we don't say the word Christian as much as we say the word Christ follower. And this is the reason why, because people will say, I'm a Christian based off a one-time experience that they had in their life. But we were not just called for a one-time experience. We were not called to a one-moment prayer introduction to God in our lives. He says, hey, you have believed, you have accepted, but now your job is to continue to follow him. You got to continue on this journey of faith. And then in verse 7, it says, let your roots grow down deep into him, which could be knowledge, and let your lives be built upon him, which would be the application, it's the doing. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And you will overflow with thankfulness. You know, the most faith-filled people I know are the most thankful people I know. The people that are the most faith-filled, man, they are just believing God, action. They're positive. I mean, they've got this belief. They've got this action. They've got this obedience. They've got all this, so much faith in their life. They are also the most thankful people that I know, because they're not just content to say, I am grateful, or to be grateful. No, they want to do gratitude, understanding that the attitude of gratitude turns into the action of actually giving thanks. And this is what the scripture says. Whenever you get that knowledge, whenever you begin to apply that knowledge, you begin to build your life on the foundation of Christ, then you will begin to overflow with thankfulness. You will begin to overflow with thanksgiving. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, in every situation, come on, say every. That's right. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Be thankful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful in your heart and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. See, one evidence of real growing faith in your life is being able to give thanks to God in every circumstance. Not just the good days, not just when everything is working the way that you want it to work, when everything is going your way, but in every circumstance, in every situation, not just on the mountaintop, but even in the darkness of the valley, that you would be able to give thanks to God. This is how you know that your faith is growing, because you can practice thankfulness no matter the season of your life. Here's the fourth sign that your faith is growing, and it's found, it's producing greater love, producing greater love. That's the fourth, producing greater love. And this is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Did you see that? He says, your faith is growing more and more. We're so proud of you. We're so grateful. Your faith is growing more and more, but look what is happening with the faith growing. He says, and also, the love that you have is increasing. You see, whenever our faith is growing, our love is increasing. And now it makes sense, because Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34 says, now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Jesus says, this is the new commandment I'm giving you. Not just loving others, just because. Now I want you to love them. Listen, Jesus says, I want you to love them the way that I've loved you. I'm taking the stakes up a little bit. I'm turning up the heat, if you would. I want you to love others the way that I have loved you. And so it makes sense when we say that faith is growing on the inside of us, that our love for others would be increasing, because this is the command, or this is the assignment that God gave to his followers. You see, whenever our faith is being cultivated, it starts producing more of what Jesus commands. As our faith is growing, as our faith is accelerating, it begins to produce more of what Jesus demands. And Jesus demands that we would love each other. And so I have a greater capacity, as my faith grows, I have a greater capacity to love my enemies, people that I never thought I would be able to love, people who disagree with me, people who don't worship like me, people who don't believe like me, people that don't look like me, people that don't vote like me, people who aren't like me, people who are actually against me. She says, you can love them. And as faith is growing, we find ourselves loving people that we never dreamed we would be able to love. That is a sign that faith is growing in each and every one of us. And it takes us to the last sign that faith is growing in you, that your faith is growing. And the last sign is this: yielding self. You would be yielding self. It's not the devil that causes the most of my problems. It's me. It's not the devil that causes most of my issues. It's me. It's my nature. It's my character. It's my flaws. It's my temptations. It's my mistakes. I am my own biggest obstacle in this life. You see, it's our bent. It's our bent for anger, our bent for envy, for pride, for gluttony, for greed, for people-pleasing, for fear, for lust, for apathy. It is these things that create the greatest challenges of our life. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, I love this in the Message translation, it says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. It says, these are the things that are happening on the earth. We want to be seen as important. We want our own way. We want everything for ourselves. That's what we desire. It's what we want. And he says, hey, that has nothing to do with God. That actually isolates. When you pursue that, it actually isolates you with God. It actually puts you at odds with God. Instead of let your kingdom come and your will be done, I want heaven to come to earth. It's actually living in the antithesis, in the opposite direction of that. And so if faith is going to be growing, guess what we have to be doing? We have to be yielding self. We have to be yielding our flesh. We have to be yielding our selfishness, our self-centeredness. We have to be yielding these things to God, because a growing faith will always be seen in a surrendering self. A growing faith will always be seen in a surrendering self. See, I don't get to just add Jesus to the top of my life and it makes everything okay. No. John the Baptist said it this way. And here he was the voice crying out in the wilderness. He was the one who was paving the way for Jesus. But when Jesus shows up, John the Baptist knows this, and this is what he says to his followers. He says, he must become greater and greater, speaking of Jesus, and I must become less and less. Now, John the Baptist was talking about, I've got to step out of the spotlight so Jesus can move into the spotlight. But here's what I would tell you. The words of John the Baptist ring true for each and every single one of us. To experience an increase of Jesus, I must also have a decrease of self. If I want to experience an increase of Jesus, if he is going to get greater and greater in my life, then I must become less and less. I must yield myself. I must yield my will. I must yield my way. I must yield my desires. I must yield to him. So whenever we look at these five signs, right, we see these five signs of growing in faith, and we say, you got to be hungry for knowledge, applying the knowledge. You got to be practicing thankfulness. You got to be producing greater love. You got to be yielding self. You see, there's actually a bonus sign of faith right there in that acrostic, and that is happy. Yeah, bonus thing of growing in faith is happy, because I have yet to meet a miserable person whose faith was flourishing. I've never met a miserable person whose faith was flourishing. No, but let me tell you, I've met plenty of miserable people in my life, but never one who had faith that was growing and faith that was thriving and faith that was flourishing. Because when your faith is growing and flourishing and thriving, guess what? It creates a happy life. And so you've got five signs and the bonus six. You got to be happy. Hey, if you're not happy right now, I'm going to say you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, because you might be heading down a pathway that you don't want to be going down. Put yourself in check if you would say, you know what? I am not happy. And now, listen, I get there's tough days and there's bad days and everybody's struggling. I'm talking about in an overall season of life. If you can't find any joy and happiness and contentment and peace, if you can't find that right now, then you need to really check yourself and say, is my faith growing? Because if faith is growing and thriving and fruitful and flourishing on the inside of me, then it will create this contentment and joy and happiness on the inside of me as well. Well, hey, as we talked about in the message, we close every message out with this lead acrostic. What am I learning? What am I evaluating? What am I applying? And am I doing it again? And our learn today, our takeaway from this message is this: my faith, which is deep belief and action, brings heaven to earth. My faith, it is my faith, it is my deep belief, and it is my action that brings heaven to earth. The evaluation is this: is my faith continually growing? Is your faith, could it be said about your faith that it's a journey of faith? Maybe you could even ask yourself this question: am I currently flourishing? Am I currently flourishing? Because if there's a lack of flourishing in your life, then maybe your faith is not growing. Is faith a one-time event for you? Is faith a label for you? I'm a person of faith. I'm a believer. Is that where it stops for you? If that's where it stops, then we need to evaluate that. Is faith about you just having a moment and saying a prayer for God's grace? Or is it really empowering you to run your race while you're here on the earth? You've got to evaluate that. And then it leads us to the application, is to engage these five signs of growth. Engage these five signs of growth. And what do you need to do? You got to get hungry for knowledge. You got to start applying the knowledge that you have. You got to start practicing thankfulness. Come on, that's something that you can do. Just start practicing giving thanks to God and thanking other people. You got to begin to producing a greater love. And then you've got to begin to yielding self. Things that we can all do. And if you will begin to engage in these things, then what happens is that your faith begins to grow. And as your faith begins to grow, heaven can come to earth. And the D is always the same. Just do it again. Just do it again. Stay in the journey. Stay in the process of growing in your faith so that more of heaven can flow through your life. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for your truth. God, I thank you that we find safety, security, and power, God, in your truth and in your promises. God, I pray today that as we move in faith, heaven would move through us. As we live in faith, that heaven would begin to flow through us today. God, I pray that people would experience your love, your grace, your power, your peace, your joy through our words and through our actions today. God, we want to be people of faith. We want to please you today. God, as your word says that we cannot please you without faith. God, we want to please you today. And God, we want a reward. We know that you're the rewarder of those who are seeking after you. And God, we want heaven to come to earth that we might receive that reward. And not just that, but God, that heaven would begin to move through us, that other people would be blessed because of heaven moving in our lives. And right now, if you say, Phil, that's what I want. That's what I want for my life. Come on, just tell God. Just say, God, that's what I want today. God, I want to thrive. I want to flourish. I want my faith to grow so that heaven could move through me. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, thank you so much for watching today. Join us. Man, I can't wait for this series. I just really expect that as we continue through the series, we're going to finish this series talking about miracles. And as we build up to this, I just really believe this is going to be a season of miracles for you, a season of miracles for your family, and a season of miracles for our community. As we pray, let your kingdom come, your will be done. Let heaven come to earth. As we continue to pray that prayer, I think we're going to see it and we're going to have testimonies from it. God bless you. See you soon.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.